First of all, is this the final tour, Les?
Well, as upon now, this is the final tour with this band. I no longer want to continue touring at this level. Physically, I'm 43, you know, and if it takes me another 3 years to come up with an album, I'll be 46, and then once we're touring at 47, you know, I mean...
Do you feel sick of, like, having to play the game as it is?
You have to play the game now. It's like, but... And you have to come up with certain things that you... I mean, on this last album, No More Tears, I can honestly say that was one of the only albums that I'm happy with, the whole album, track by track. On other albums, I thought, well, that's okay, you know, and that's great, and that ain't so great. But this album was it takes a lot of... I mean, bands like, no disrespect to bands like Def Leppard, we spent 4 years making an album. I mean, I think that I'd be institutionalized yet again. Like, it took 4 years to make an album. And the bottom line is, I'm a family man. I'm 43, I've got kids. I've got a wife she's got rid of all her bands. She doesn't manage anybody else now. And I want to continue making music when I want to make music, because the pressure, you come off the road and you don't, and then it's like, we want an album in this time, and you've got to start writing. You feel like, right, like we are now, we're in between tours, and we've got to write 4 or 5 or 6 tracks to put on this bonus deal now that they put on a live album, these studio tracks. And it's like, you feel like writing music, like you want to go and paper hang, you know?
I mean, this has been a hard
writing. No, it doesn't mean hard, it's just like, You lock your head into the tour zone, mm-hmm. then you have a break to give yourself a breather, there's never enough time, and that's what we all say now, you know, my wife and I, there's never enough time, you know.
You mean to sit back and take
just,
things
just,
in?
I mean, I just went on a holiday, to Maui, where we got married a few years back, and when we got married there was just like this one motel. I thought, oh no, now I don't drink, it's going to be boring looking at whales leaping out of the sea. And you want to see what, the sunsets and the scenery is beautiful, but it was great when you smoked a joint and took a tab of acid and drunk 5 vats of vodka and whatever. It was even better, you know. But I went back again prior to this time, this last time, and it was like I was kind of one of my sobering periods, and I was never so bored as in my fucking life, you know. But this time I built some more hotels. I went to stay at the Four Seasons there, and we had the greatest time. And I met some other people in the music business there, you know. And we were all on holiday, and we were just on holiday, and it was so nice to see like John Collodner there, just talking about anything but fucking music, you know. I made friends with Neil Young. He was there. We went out to dinner, and he's
and Neil Young.
He's a really great, cool guy.
Now, man, he's another crazy. I mean, he's really. If you talk about crazy guys, Neil Young is always.
We were on an ISIL boat together. You know, me and his family. We had breakfast together. We're just normal, everyday people. Elton John was there. He was great. You know. I mean, it's so good to see people in your own career out of the environment where nobody's posing. Or, I mean, every time I've met Elton John, he's been nothing but a gentleman to me. I love the guy, man. He's just a real sweet man.
Do you think looking at it from the wider angle, it does have a lot to do with being sober and not being clouded with the rock and roll?
No, I'll tell you what the problem is with me. I'm now about 14 months without a drink or a street drug. I'm on medication from my therapist, which is a stabilizing shit until I get off the road and you can spend time. That's another thing that I've got to get my shit together with my head, you know, because living in a world sober after living in a world for 20 odd years under the influence is fucked, you know. I'm not going to say, oh, it's wonderful being sober, because basically life on life terms sucks. And I've got to learn to live, adapt to that. Because I'm so used to waking up and sniffing a line of shit or fucking throwing a pill in or a fucking glug glug or something to get the day going. And it's and but I will not drink. I don't have the desire to drink because I know whatever problem I have. And to be honest to God, if I say today is one of my worst days of my life, if I pick up a drink or a gram of coke or a fucking hit of heroin or whatever the fuck it is, it'll be blotted out for today. But then tomorrow I'll wake up and I'll go, no, the problem will still be there, but increased with the fact that I've failed yet again. And I'm starting from fucking one and I never want to do that again.
Is that what's kept you sober this time? The fear of failure?
No, I've failed so many times. But as the time, when I used to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, it was like, how many days you got? I mean, it was like a fucking race. It's not a race. We are in the human race. That's enough races I want to go in. I'm not into racing. It's like 15 days, 16 days. And what I would, every time I'd get, like say the last time I went out was 40 days. I'd make 41 days the next time and then go out. So this time I didn't count. And suddenly, a few weeks back, my kids and my wife got on the phone and they all sang happy birthday. I said, what's the matter with you singing happy birthday to me for? He says, you got 1 year to die. And I go,
what? 1 year?
Because I hadn't kept counting the days and the minutes and the hours, and, you know, a year has gone, you know. I mean, if I'd have been, you imagine every day, you're from January the 1st, you go, it's January the 1st, January the 2nd. Generally, it's like doing that. It drives me fucking mad, you know. So I like to do like this, you know, with my drug abuse and alcoholism. If I had my leg amputated, I'd have one leg. And whether I liked it or whether I didn't like it, I would still have one leg. And I would have to live life with one leg. And that's the way I look at my alcohol and drug addiction. Is I've amputated my drug and alcohol problem. I could easily have it back, the problem. It is a problem. And that's the whole thing in a nutshell there. I've amputated my problem. I could easily have that problem back. And I don't want that fucking problem back. Because as soon as I have a fucking drink, the problem becomes a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on now to the fact that I remember last time we'd spoken, you said that you were actually quite sad in a way to be letting go of this band because you really felt there was a lot more in it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I've got to be realistic, I've got to be totally honest about it, you know. I love every one of the guys, I've had a great time with these guys in this band, but, you know, I stuck on my own for a while in a hotel room and I'm thinking, well, you know, you are really 43 and you are really playing with guys in their 20s and 25s and they, you know, and it's kind of, I'm like the isolated man, you know. They stay in one hotel because they, you know, and all this shit, not because of ego, because at the first part of the tour, everybody that was around me, that cared for me, was protecting me because they go out and get fucked up. They thought, well, oh my God, I'll fuck this and get fucked up with them. And, that they go out and they get drunk and it doesn't bother me anymore. But the bottom line is the fact that I want to slow down. You know, it's like I can't do what I was at 43. And the fact is that I can't do at 43 what I could do when I was fucking 30 or even 35 or even 20, whatever.
You might want to comment briefly about the irony of the fact that you've had as many injuries on this tour. Fitter and stronger.
Yeah, but you know what it is? I've had as many injuries fit, but I've felt them before. I may have had 20 times as many fucking injuries, but not felt them. It's like, you know, because when you have a drink last night, you've still got it in your system the day after. Whether you feel kind of sober or what, but you've still got it in there. So if you bang your elbow, you don't really realise how much damage you've done, you know. It takes a year for it to begin to go out of the system. But I have felt pain on this tour, you know.
So also, is your future plans, we should go into those. You obviously have some idea that you'd like to do some recording with other people. Maybe you should.
No, well, to be honest with you, I've been offered, my wife's just recently told me that some guy from Canada's offered a lot of dough for the reformation of the original Sabbath, which I don't care to fucking take part in because, you know, why go backwards, you know? I mean, it's like an old girlfriend to me. I mean, I've got nothing in common with them. I don't hate them. I don't dislike them. I don't... It's like, I don't hate my ex-wife, but I'm not married to her anymore, you know? She has my children, which I see as often as I can. But I don't fucking want to sleep with a woman or have any relationship with that woman anymore. In fact, it's the fucking truth, so I wish I'd never had a fucking relationship with a woman in my fucking life, because all it's ever done is caused me fucking misery and misery. I was born thinking with the wrong head. I thought with the head of my dick instead of my head of my shoulders, you know.
So I didn't know about this reformation business, but going on, you did say you wanted to work with different people.
To be perfectly truthful to you, I have not really sat down and thought, oh, I know what I want to do. I want to work with him or him. What I would really love to do is say, fuck the thoughts for, at the end of this, I don't want to think about music. I want to be a family man. I want to pick my son up from school. I want to go fishing with my son. Until that gets put, probably the first weekend, you know. But the thing about this rock and roll business is, if I was to say at this point, yeah, I'm going to do a thing with Dweezil Zappa or fucking Neil Young or Elton John or whoever it may be, or Weird Al Yankovic or whatever, you know. You know, people say, oh, but you said 6 months ago you were going to do a song with Weird Al Yankovic. Why haven't you done it? So it's all open. I haven't made any plans because my major, I live one day at a time. And right here, right now, I'm trying to write some fucking songs for this.
So it's basically, it's called getting off the treadmill. It's called releasing yourself of obligations.
I'm not going to obligate myself, and I'm not going to put any false ideas into everybody's head out there in the media, because I don't want to let them down. You know? I'm not going to give the next album title, because I don't know myself. I don't know when the next album's going to come out. I don't know who's going to be playing on that album. I don't know if I'm going to be singing on it myself. I might sing on my album. I might do something totally off the wall and sing on somebody else's fucking album. You know, I really don't know. I don't know where the fuck I'm going to be or what I'm going to be doing. All I do know is this is the last of this kind of thing. I will not tour at this length again. I will do the occasional gigs or short mini tours, but I will not spend like 9 months on the road, like 2 days at home, 6 months writing, 6 months recording, back out on the road, not out for like I have been.
It's funny because you're going out with a bang, because this is proving to be probably the longest tour you'll have done. I mean, by the time you've done
this... When we had the first Diary, Blizzard and Diary, we just released one after the other and kept on touring for 3 years.
That's a point, yeah, you had the records. But this seems to me, as far as touring for one album, you're going longer off.
And I tell you, the thing about being sober is... an hour on a fucking bus, and I'm screaming my fucking head off because I can't stand the bus. I can't stand the lights. I never sleep on the bus. I'm a chronic insomniac. I go nuts, you know. I mean, you be in my head for 3 days without sleep, and I make Freddy Krueger look like fucking walk around Disneyland, man. So I drive everything and everyone around. I mean, mice don't come in my house for 3 days without sleep, you know. Birds die when they tiptoe past my window, you know.
Dreams shatter. horrible thoughts, really. But say what you will about the songs.
We've written 5 songs. Lemmy's working on some lyrics for me at the moment. The band is also working on, we are working on some lyrics ourselves, so we'll pick out the best of the bunch, you know. And there is a 6th song that I've yet to come up with a vocal line for. So in all, so far I've got 5 kind of nearly complete, and one we're still working, so it'll possibly 6 at the end.
Maybe talk about briefly as well, they would probably want you to talk about your relationship with the fans over the years, and the fact that you
So my relationship with my fans is kind of, I'd like to put one thing straight here and now. I've never confessed to being a great singer, you know. I've never looked upon myself as one of the greatest singers of, I'm not a Robert Plant and I'm not a, like a Freddie Mercury or an Elton John or whatever like that, you know. I mean, they could sing that when they are great singers, you know. I mean, when Stevie Marriott as well, when he was alive, was, you know, could sing his arse off then. And, but the following that I've had is kind of in like a family, you know, when one goes on stage, you can only put what you can put out into it. And what very often upsets me is when you get some guy comes along to the show, and if it's a bad show, you expect a bad review. But when everyone's had fun, and someone really reviews a show, and literally, I just read some fucking article in a magazine, and I thought, well, what the fuck's this guy on about, man? Whether I was singing in tune or out tune, it didn't matter, you know. That everybody had fun, the crowd had fun, nobody was asking for the fucking money back, no one pelting the stage with fucking dog turds, you know, and it was fucking good night, you know. Yet these British intellectual fucking idiots, like, trying to scientificize, you know, make it the scientific side of Ozzy. Fucking, the most scientific thing I do is take a shit in the morning. You know, and then it's like, I mean, intellectualizing the fuck. Where does intellectualizing come into rock and roll? It's just a basic native vibe that you're born with. It's like you go to a guy in the jungle who beats a fucking tree trunk with a buffalo fucking bone. You know, you talk to him and say, well, what about video? You'll probably get that buffalo bone and whap you over there. And, oh, your skull sounds nice. Stand next to that tree. Bong, ding, bong, ding, you know. All you are to him is a sound, you know. It's a vibe, man.
So do you think that the one thing that the fans maybe find with you more than anything is that they know that what you say is for real? They're not going to get...
I don't go up there. I mean, you know, I do love those guys, man. You know, for the simple reason, without those fucking kids, I wouldn't be here now, you know. I mean, I've never been one of these people that's I'm better than you kind of thing. Because I can't stand all this ego shit, you know. I can't stand this you know, the bottom line is, you know, when they say you've got an hour to live, you've got an hour to live, you know. Where, I mean, all the ego and all the fucking money in the world, if you've got lung cancer, you've got lung cancer. If you've got AIDS, you've got fucking AIDS, you know. And, if there's nothing in between life and death. And I've been through that ego thing, you know, and I'm up and down, and I battle with that. My ego, I use it as a kind of shield sometimes, you know, because I'm not exactly academically fucking brilliant when it comes to fucking understanding the mechanics of it all, you know. That's where my biggest, if any big downfall in my career is, that is it. I've always said that I've got a big heart and a fucking walnut for a brain, you know. Because, you know, I'm just tribal and run on there, you know, it's just that I don't understand, like, the intergalactical fucking fucking clauses in contract. That means you're saying to me that if I die and come back as a cow, you have 50% of my shit for manure and 5 bottles of my milk. Yes, Ozzy. Okay then, but what if I come back as a whale? Well, you've got to donate 50% of your blubber to fucking Mr. Smith, the head of Dick Records, you know.
Oh dear.
I mean, the contracts are up for the next life as well, that's right up now, you know. But I don't understand when it goes, hi, the plaintiff and the plaintiff and the plaintiff. What the fuck's a plaintiff? You know, it's like, I thought it was some of this Wales East plaintiff, didn't it? Or plankton, that is.
So, looking on to the live record, you may want to talk a little bit about what the live record's going to be about. I'm sure people
will... Well, it's about me playing live. The live record is what I'm going to do on this second... I mean, we recorded some of the first part of the tour, and I'm going to add some different songs to this. Obviously, Road to Nowhere's got to be recorded, and we never do a live recording of Mama, I'm Coming Home. And I want to do, well, not I want to do, I've been asked if I wouldn't mind, or rather, I've been told to fucking do Changes by the old Sabbath thing. which I'll do. Yeah. I would like to. I'd like to try and put Revelation Mother Earth in. And do a few other things, you know. I mean, changing around. We're going to start the show with a different, similar kind of song, but so it's going to be rearranged, you know.
And is it going to be when this album comes out? Is it going to be like the curtain call of the Ozzy Osbourne Band?
I don't know. I mean, it's going. All I can say, as far as I know, it's going to go on until it's burnout. You know, this tour could go on for as long as they want me. You know.
So, and you're saying that the next leg of the tour is going to have some new staging and some new.
I believe so. Well, you know, I've never been short of a few surprises. You know, it's not going to be boring. You know, I mean, even if I am, you can watch the telly. You know? There's going to be lots of television screens, I understand. You're a TV clickers, and you don't know what you see on these TV screens. You can put the fucking CNN news on, I suppose. But all in all, I've had a blast. 20 odd years, I've had a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And if I was asked to do it again, I'd say kiss my fucking ass.
Go on, talk about the dove thing.
I mean, the bat incident and the dove incident, which will obviously forever plague me, was the bat. But the dove was kind of planned in my head, but nobody else knew. I drank a bottle of fucking Courvoisier. And I had to be introduced to a new record company. And at this time, I mean, Sabbath was one of these bands, I've got to say this on their behalf, we hated stroking these people, you know, and you've got to do it. Oh, yes, George, it's great to see you. Who the fuck's George and what does he do? You know, he's the PR man. Yeah, what the fuck does PR mean, you know? He's a proper dick or a proper runt or something. And so it's like, I go down there and Dave says, we want you to I'm drunk as a cunt, throw these doves in these rooms, like making out. So I just threw one and bit the heads, paired up one, threw it on the table. And if I'd have had a fucking one of them zoom with them lenses that scans a room, you would have seen about 50 fucking reps go with their fucking faces go like, with their eyeballs pop out. Torso of this fucking headless bird flapping on the table, and they were like, fucking hell, what is it, what have we got here, you know, and then for instance, even now I just went to Germany, and it was supposed to be a re-fucking push for the album, because like, they've got this weird thing over in Europe, they get a goal. They go, okay, Ozzy was good for 30,000 albums last time, I'll go for 75 this time. Once they reach that 75, they can get another reorder for a fucking 175,000. And I want to know, you know. So, I mean, and then in the beginning of when I went solo, I was crazy. I was absolutely, I'd lost my father had died, my first wife had divorced me, my band had fired me. So, like, in concession, you know. And so I was just drunk as a fucking drunker than I've ever been for about a year, 2 years, just constantly fucked up. And I went to that challenge, said, I'm going to introduce you now to the German head of the German branch. So, and there was two contest winners who flew from America, I think it was from San Francisco, I think, or somewhere in the West Coast, to Germany to have this dinner. And I was loaded, I took all my clothes off, walked across the dining room table, big banquet table, pissed in his carafe of wine, and give this big bearded German fucker a French kiss. Which went down like a nun's knickers, you know?